Let's move on to the question of how to finance the purchase, because one of the points you emphasized in our first audio CD is that it doesn't actually require massive amounts of money to buy a business, as one might initially anticipate. So how do you purchase a business if you don't have very large capital resources?
This is very interesting, because here's what has to happen. I'm a huge believer that when it comes to buying a business, the seller has to share in the risk of that purchase. The buyer has much more at stake than the seller. And so I've been a huge, huge promoter of having seller financing as part of the transaction. And that can vary from, you know, anywhere from, you know, 30 to 60% or more. I mean, one of the businesses that I actually was in due diligence for just was drilled down to what the seller's main concern was, and I was able to sign a 30-year note with the guy. Now, 30 years I paid, I was going to be paying a lot of interest over that time, but it was going to have almost no impact on the cash flow of the business. So it was quite an exciting deal. But the goal is to have seller financing. The seller has to share in the risk of your acquisition.
So Richard, we've been talking about money. Let's move on to the question of how I finance the purchase of a business. Do I simply go to the bank and borrow the money?
It would be nice. And you know what? And the banks have done a great job of all these wonderful ads that they have on TV thinking about how much they help small business. The fact remains, and the truth is, banks do not lend money for people to buy businesses. I don't even think they lend that much money to entrepreneurs, to be honest with you. There are some programs that are available related to government programs that may apply to certain situations, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But people need to understand, banks do not have their vaults open, ready for people to walk in, pull out gobs of cash, and buy the business of their dreams. Just not going to happen. That's why, for that reason, and the fact that I am a huge believer that in the small business transaction, the buyer typically, in making the acquisition of the business, assumes more risk than the seller. You've got to have the seller with skin in the game. They've got to be at risk. I know that there's sort of this old, you know, philosophy where people talk about win-win. My philosophy related to buying a business is that the buyer wins and the seller is reasonably happy. And in keeping with that, we need to have the seller participate in the financing of the acquisition. First, I'll tell everybody that it's very common, number one. Number two, it's really the only way that the seller could substantiate any of the claims and representations that they've made related to the business. You know, the old philosophy, putting their money where their mouth is. So again, because it is quite common and because it is an important part of the deal structure, if you will, to make sure that the seller is on the hook as well, seller financing is critical. And people will be pleased to know that the vast majority of our clients, I've got to figure it's 80 to 85%, enjoy seller financing. The percentage will vary. Could, 30% up to 50 or 60%. And that's, and again, 40 to 50 is pretty much the sweet spot related to that. But that's what the seller is going to be in the game for.
Richard, that sounds very positive, but how would I persuade a seller to do that? After all, isn't the whole point of selling a business to take the money and retire?
Yeah, it is, but that's entirely different from taking the money and running. And what happens is, by providing seller financing, there's also a huge advantage to the seller as well. By providing financing, number one, the buyer pool. I mean, if their goal is really to sell their business as opposed to rip someone off, I mean, if their goal is to sell their business and retire, and using your example, the buyer pool is increased exponentially by a seller offering financing. So that, number one, puts it in their favor to offer seller financing. There's far more prospective buyers that can acquire that business if they're providing an element of financing, number one. Number two, it greatly increases the potential purchase price that they're able to sell that business for because they've offered seller financing. Proven fact. The third thing is, it's very normal. It's very much a part of small business transactions and acquisitions, for the mere fact that banks don't have their vaults open ready to lend average people money to buy businesses. The fourth thing is, there's mechanisms that are being put in place where guarantees that are made related to the business, where they actually, the assets of the business, are able to collateralize that loan. No one should ever put up personal collateral related to a seller note. You will have to sign personally, which is pretty normal. But the assets of the business, of which they've been pontificating for all this time of being so wonderful, well, you turn around saying, well, if they're so wonderful, we're going to use those as security against your note. And it works all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. So they have a lien against the assets of the business. The other point is, again, because it is a normal part of the equation, the other point to really consider is, when you're in the proper meetings with the seller, as long as you're able to impress them, they look upon you as being a perfect vehicle for their retirement. They look at you and say, hey, this is the person who could build my business. I'm going to get paid. It may even make sense from a tax perspective to have a note rather than lump sum payments, depending on the type of corporation that they have. So there's all these criteria that not only make sense for the buyer, but certainly make sense for the seller as well.
Well, and I know that you have more in the workbook to help us with the question of financing the purchase of a business. The big message here seems to me to be that seller financing makes the possibility of creating wealth through buying a business much more in reach to more people than we might have expected when we set out on this inquiry.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there is the component of the traditional lenders, which are through some of the government-backed or SBA-backed programs. The SBA, the Small Business Administration, doesn't lend money to people, but it backs loans made by traditional banks to people specifically for buying businesses. And they're great programs. The problem is, you know, many businesses or individuals don't meet the necessary criteria. The level of collateral that you have to put up for those type of loans is unbelievable compared to a seller loan. It's just shy of pledging your firstborn. However, it's something that people need to understand because it is available and probably happens about in 6 to 10% of the transactions. So one of the action steps that we have in the workbook is for people to inform themselves. This whole process, all these things we've been talking about are, you know, relate back to education, inform yourself. That's one of the action steps, which is we provide them with the information of what type of SBA lender they should be meeting with and under what guise they should go in and meet with them and the information that they need to elicit from those people as part of one of the action steps. The goal is to have as many options available to you as possible. I've done a number of transactions with clients where they've had all three. They've had some of their money in it, we've had seller financing, and there's been an SBA-backed program involved. So the more you know, the greater number of options that you're going to have available, the greater number of options they have available, the greater your chances of success.
Well, that, of course, is a principle we could extend to the whole process here, that the more you know, the more choices you have. And there is clearly more to learn about buying a business. Our promise in this program was to create enough information for someone to make a decision, is this my route to creating wealth? And also enough information to make a start on the process. There is more to understand and more to study here. What are the primary areas that have yet to be covered, and where might an individual find more valuable education and information about them?